day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
It's Motown Friday on the Jerry Agar Show. Good to have you along. What could make me feel that way? It's my girl, my guy, my, I don't know, there's 58 options here. How could there be 58 gender options?
I am strong.
Fill in the blank, Helen Reddy. Decide what you are and fill in the blank. Facebook users who don't fit into any of the 58 gender identity options offered by the social media giant are now being given a rather big 59th option. Fill in the blank. I paused for a moment for you to fill in whatever word you had, and I know some of those words probably were not radio-friendly. This is just crazy. As far as I'm concerned, let's bring in a professional. Dr. Aaron Amate, Newstalk 1010 psychology expert. Welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Sorry, you're bringing me in to determine if you're crazy? Was that the issue?
I think that ship sailed. I mean, 58 gender identity options. I have to tell you right off the top, I look at that and I think, in fact, I wrote on my paper here, Emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn. I cannot, if you ask me, I cannot list off those 58 options. I think I peek at about a dozen.
But that sounds crazy to me. A dozen sounds out of control to me.
Well, if, because there are different ones from different cultures. So, I mean, that's, if they're using those specific names, then that would be it. Like the, I'm going to mispronounce it, like the Hijras in India, for example. So I don't know if they're including all these different ones from, you know, from Samoa, from the South Asian, you know, from South Asia. So that's what they might have included.
And many of those things would actually mean the same thing?
Exactly. Exactly. But at least, well, at least to the the naked eye, they would mean the same thing, but they might say that culturally, historically, it has some other, you know, nuance, so that's why they would include it.
Facebook expanded gender identity from male and female to a list of dozens of options, including androgyne, gender fluid, intersex, neither, and transgender. What is intersex?
Intersex is when someone is born with both sets of genitalia.
I thought that was called hermaphrodite.
That was the older term, and now we use intersex. So the terms change every few years. And it's actually funny. It's funny they brought that up because there's one term that I teach to all my classes, and I had a number of students keep using it with me, and I never registered. I kept thinking I'm hearing a new term, even though I'd heard it a number of times, called cisgender. Have you heard that term?
No.
Okay, so the funny thing is, I know you've encountered this yourself. I've heard you, where the people who push most strongly for tolerance are sometimes the most intolerant people on the planet.
Right.
If you don't agree with their views. So when people get upset that you don't know this term cisgender, which has only been around for the last, you know, maybe decade or so, I think it's ridiculous. So cisgender, it basically applies to someone who's not transgender. So if your sense of maleness or femaleness matches your physical sex, then you are cisgendered.
What we used to call normal?
And that's exactly it. That's why they use it, because they feel that saying normal would suggest then that transgendered individuals are abnormal, so it's pejorative. So they're trying to find a way to avoid, you know, labeling people in a way that makes them feel bad.
Well, I'll tell you a quick little story. I was on the air in Chicago when the story came out of the completion of an investigation into an athlete, and I don't remember the name, but this athlete was competing at the Olympic level, at very high international level, and she was winning races fairly handily, and other female athletes began to accuse her of actually being a man. And so she had to go through the humility of a bunch of physical examinations, and they actually came out with a finding that this individual was, I guess now they'd use the term intersex, but the term in the news story, and the finding was hermaphrodite. So I gave the story, and immediately I got a phone call from somebody who was a student of this kinds of things, not even a graduate yet, and was lecturing and hectoring me about using the term hermaphrodite because it was insulting. And I said, well, what would you use? And she said, differently sexed or something like that. And I said, but I'm using an actual term. You can find it in the dictionary, and it's in the story. And then she started up again that I was just being, you know, ugly and intolerant and uninformed. And I said, the reason I'm not going to bow to your insistence that I use your word is because you're the kind of person who will call me 2 years from now lecturing me that it's no longer appropriate to use the word you gave me today.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I don't think people have the right to prevent people from having, you know, from living their lives peacefully, you know, in the way they want, as long as it doesn't hurt society or anybody else. But the kind of people that you just described, who expect us to all, and even I'm not, on top of everything, every minute, every development. But for people, it tells more about them than the people who, many times, who aren't up to the latest, politically correct term, that it gives them a sense of importance. It makes them feel that somehow, you know, I can dictate this and I can control people's lives and, you know, I'm on top of everything. I'm perfect. And it really, it's a reflection sometimes of their own insecurities that they feel the need to, you know, punish others for not being up to speed on these things.
Does it make sense that there are multiple gender identities as opposed to male and female?
You know, it does. I've worked with a number of people, and I know a number of people who don't fit into the male-female dichotomy. And it's not that they're doing this, you know, as a trend. It's not that they're doing this lightly. It is sad, and I've seen it. I've got great empathy for someone who knows that they feel strongly since from a very young age that they were born in the wrong body, and they can't live life the way they see 90-some-odd% of the rest of the society living life. You know, something that we take for granted. So as long as it doesn't, I personally feel, as long as it doesn't hurt others, I don't see any harm in acknowledging that since the beginning of time, in many different cultures, we have recognized that not everybody fits into the male-female dichotomy.
All right. I've always had the impression that it was a psychological, a mental issue. I'll get you to respond to that if you have a few more minutes.
Certainly.
You're listening to Jerry Agar on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Town Friday. I'm Jerry Agar. I'm with Dr. Oren Amate, News Talk 1010 psychology expert. Facebook has added new gender options for users. Actually, they just put in fill in the blank. They have 58 gender identity options, and the 59th now is fill in the blank. So people have been pretty used to male, female, and then transgender, somebody who feels I look like a boy, but actually I think I'm a girl trapped inside this body. Some people go so far as to get surgery and change their body in order to fit the identity. To think that there are 58 is kind of mind-bending. Dr. Amate has said in some cases that could be various terms from different cultures that actually describe the same thing. But Dr. Amate, I have no expertise at all, but I'll bet I'm not the only one who thinks this, is that they don't have a physical issue, they have a mental issue. If you think I'm a boy in a girl's body or vice versa, then there's something deeply wrong psychologically.
Yeah, and it's a tricky question when you say if it's psychological, is it something that can be changed or cured, is the main question. And, I have not yet met the person who is transgendered or identifies that way who says that, yeah, I can be changed. Like, you know, the only thing they can change is their physical sex. That sense of who they are, male or female, is what they were either born with, or as they start developing the distinction between the two, they realize that they weren't identifying with their physical sex.
Do they feel better? Are they happy people once they have surgery?
It's tricky. I mean, if you look at the research, a lot of it's anecdotal, but a lot of people say that, yes, they do in some ways, in the sense that they're feeling closer to what they've always wanted to be and what they've seen themselves as. On the other hand, many times they've had a lifetime of doubt, confusion, a lot of stigma from other people. And even when they do change, having to explain to everybody what they've done and trying to get people to accept them, especially if it's family, if you've had a spouse, and it's a rough ride to have a spouse, you know, stay with you as you're going through such a major transition. So, you know, it doesn't always work out for the best because of the other factors that come along with changing your physical sex.
I couldn't imagine getting a spouse to stay with you.
It's interesting, and I know a number of couples who have done that. And then people say, okay, so what does that make the spouse? If for example, a husband and wife, and then the husband is now turned to a woman, does that make the wife lesbian? You know, like, because she's with someone who's now a woman, you know, and so it's hard for people to wrap their mind around where I say, you know what, the person fell in love with the individual underneath that skin. So regardless of what body parts they may have, that some people are able to say they are still the same person underneath, and that's who I'm staying with. It is hard to wrap your head around it.
Yeah, but I think in part I fell in love with my wife's feminine personality.
Yeah, and that's a big part. I mean, it's very tricky because, you know, you're bringing up issues that people have to keep in mind. That it's not just about the physical sex. There is, you know, as you mentioned, like the feminine qualities. All men, all women have males or masculine, feminine, and other qualities. So it's not just about what body parts are dangling off of you.
Oren Amate is News Talk 1010 psychology expert. Here is George in Toronto. George, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I definitely take this very, very seriously as a parent of a child who experienced gender identity disorder, and I do call it a disorder. And I'm one of those very rare individuals, my wife and I, who actually had a transgender child, gender identity disorder child, who from the age of 12 started expressing it. And then after many years of resisting and just loving her and just supporting her and trying to help her through her issues, one day we had a breakthrough, and now she is no longer identifying as a male. So, yes, it's a very rare case. I know that most of the medical science now is capitulating towards just, you know, supporting the people who feel that they have gender identity disorder, but I just want to say for those parents that want to, you know, just fight and fight for their children, it's not easy. You have to have a standard of truth. You have to believe in what you believe. And this is a mental illness. And I feel very, very sorry for many, many children out there who are going through this. And I understand that most will go through the path of going through the sexual reassignment. But I just think that there are definitely children out there who need to be supported and to need to be helped.
George, is your daughter now a happy person?
You know, she's still there's with gender identity disorder. There's definitely a strong depression connection, and so she's not 100% happy, of course, because she still has a bit of depression. But she is definitely had not regressed. She's very firm in her way. She's just had a realization one day after, you know, just. It's very complicated, but she just had a very strong realization that changing her sexual identity is not really going to bring her the full happiness that she fantasized about.
George, I appreciate your call. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Amate, how do you react to that?
Well, I can't make any assumptions about how George and his family responded. On one hand, they said they're supportive. On the other hand, they said we were very strong and firm in our beliefs. And I don't know what that means, if that means that they said, you know what, we love you, we support you, but underneath, you still are a girl, and that, you know, that she capitulated and that she's decided to, you know, it's easier to stick with that. I don't know. I would never make that assumption. But I do know I've worked, again, with many people, whether we're talking about their gender identity. And by the way, the more politically correct term now, the diagnosis is gender dysphoria as opposed to gender identity disorder. Once again, it's just a change in terminology. Nobody should get down on someone who, you know, is not up to date on that. But, you know, so whether we're talking about someone with gender dysphoria or whether we're talking about someone who, you know, who's concerned about their sexual orientation, it's so powerful when you have a family that on one hand might be saying one thing, but on the other, you get a sense that, you know what, they really wish I was something else. And I've seen people, you know, try to mask it for their whole lives. And when you feel that you're wearing a mask, that you can't be who you are, it is it's one of the most distressing feelings that you know that you can ever have.
But I wonder how you react to his saying that a lot of people just capitulate to this. And maybe, in fact, there could be people who would be happier if they could be happy as themselves.
Well, again, what is themselves? Is his daughter's sense of, like, is herself as a girl or as a boy? I really don't know. I think the most important thing, he said it, and again, I don't know how it played out in his family, but he did say that it's most important to, you know, to support the person. And regardless of what they're going through, I hope that parents can, you know, can find the compassion in them to try to wrap their heads around things that are so difficult and help the child, whatever age, come to an understanding of who are they and what is right for them. And he said that that science has capitulated and saying, okay, fine, it's legitimate. Then he said, no, it's a mental disorder. you know, that's his own personal experience. It's anecdotal on his part, and we can't say that he's right, just like we can't say that a doctor who says, no, it's the other way, is necessarily right. I don't think anybody has the definite answer, because there will always be exceptions. There are anomalies, and but sometimes we find out the exceptions are much more common than we thought. And, you know, so no one has the final say on what exactly is going on in someone going through this.
How widespread is this? What percentage of the population is going to look at Facebook, where they have 58 gender identity options, or fill in the blank and do something other than male or female?
That's difficult because, I think it's about 1% who might identify as transgendered or just under that. So, but then with all these other options, is someone saying, yeah, you know what, I am a male, I feel male, but there's always been something a little bit different with me. And having these options, is that going to make them more likely to try to seek something to help explain why they feel a little bit different, yet it's not, you know, gender dysphoria, it's not a sense of being transgendered or anything. So I don't know if having these options is going to increase for a small percentage. I don't think it's going to be huge. Regardless, I don't think we're going to get a huge number. But as I said earlier, if we're able to help a few people, because even 1%, even 0.5% is a huge number of absolute people, if we can help some people feel, you know what, I'm not a freak, I'm not an anomaly, I'm not an outsider, I'm different from some certain people, and I'm not going to be made to feel inferior. If we can do that, I don't see the harm in it, personally.
Dr. Oren Amitai, News Talk 1010 psychology expert, docamitai.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
In-depth radio.